We now have the privilege of studying Perek Yud Chet, the 18th chapter of Yeshayahu. This chapter contains several quotes which are familiar to us from our tefillah, but it is also, in my view, one of the most difficult prakim in Sefer Yeshayahu. It is extremely difficult to establish a precise historical reference when understanding this chapter. And in many ways, it raises more questions than I have answers. I will do my best. I will give some suggestions, but I'm also happy to hear other suggested interpretations of this chapter if you have them. The chapter begins with the statements, Hoy eret tzilzal knafayim asher me'ever l'naharei chush. Woe to the land of shaded by wings, which is on the other side of the rivers of Cush. Now, this would immediately lead us to suggest that this is a reference to something happening on the other side of the rivers of Cush, the other side of the rivers of Ethiopia, although the word Cush in Tanakh refers to the area south of Egypt, which is today southern lower Egypt, upper Egypt, southern Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, that whole area in Tanakh is called Cush. And so, woe to the land shaded by wings in that territory. And what exactly is that land? The only reference we have to a contact in the time of Yeshayahu between that territory and the kingdom of Yehuda, which I am familiar, is the involvement of Tirhaka, the king of Cush, during the campaign of Sennacherib against Yerushalayim in 701 BCE. There was a point at which the campaign had to be diverted from Yerushalayim because of the involvement of Tirhaka of Cush. And this may be a reference in some way to the relationship between Cush and Yehuda. The possibility that Cush sort of involved themselves in some limited way in attacking Assyria, but was not entirely reliant. And the question is, why is Israel suffering so much when Cush is being economically successful? That may be the question that's engaged in this parak, but as we will see, the references are extremely unclear. Let us begin and at least try and understand the simple meaning of the words, and then we can see if we have any possible clear ideas of the references. So what is Cush? What is said about Cush in Pasuk Bet? Hasholeach bayam tzirim uvlichle gome al pnei mayim, who sends by the sea tzirim. Usually tzirim refers to messengers. So sends messengers by means of the sea. Uvichle gome al pnei mayim, and in vessels of reeds on the face of the water. Now that is very difficult phrase. Does it mean that the messengers are being sent in reed vessels on the water? That seems a very unstable way to send messengers. The question remains open. Lichum malachim kalim el goy memushach umorat el am nora min hu vahala. So here the phrase begins with a command. Lichu, go. Lichu malachim kalim, go, O quick, O swift messengers. Now this seems to be a command from Cush. Go, you swift messengers of Cush. El goy mimushach umorat. Now these are difficult phrases, despite the fact they appear elsewhere in Yeshayahu. Mimushach might mean pulled at or yanked out. Nations of the world have pulled him, as the Radak interprets. They've pulled him from various sides. Umorat, that they have ripped out its beard. Umartu oto. Klamar, mishichatam oto haita bimritat se'aram uvsaram. Their pulling of him caused the ripping out of his beard and damage to his flesh. So send messengers to a put-upon nation which has suffered. El am nora min hu vahala. This is difficult. Now let's assume for a moment that these messengers are being sent to Yehuda, to the Jewish people, who is a nation who has suffered. Now here the nation is being called El Am Nora, to a nation which is terrible or terrifying, Minhu Vahala. From then on, is how the Mefarshim understand Minhu Vahala, from it and further. So what does El Am Nora Minhu Vahala mean? to a nation which is terrible from it on. Now, how does that refer to the Jewish nation? Well, some of the Mefarshim understand here the idea that, as the Radak interprets, that even though the nations harmed the Jewish people and pulled them from all sides and ripped out their beard, they were still never able to eliminate them from existing as a nation. So in that sense, it is a terrible nation from the day of its founding and on. I would tend to interpret this more in context and suggest that perhaps the meaning here is El Am Nora Min Hu Vahala, to a nation whom being terrifying is Min Hu Vahala, is beyond its capabilities. The nation is continued, in the description of the nation continues. Goy Kav Kav Umvusa Asher Bazu Neharim Artso. A nation Kav Kav. Now, what does Kav Kav mean here? Rashi understands Kav Kav Milashon Ki, a sort of vomitous nation. Nation who has suffered, who has also described here as being a Mivusa, a defeated nation. Asher Bazu Neharim Artso, that rivers have despoiled its land. And here I think that rivers is a reference to Assyria. We've seen elsewhere that the king of Assyria, Yeshayahu, is called a raging flood. Of course, the king of Assyria himself calls himself a raging flood. And Rashi here understands rivers as milachim, just leaves it at that. So a nation which is vomitous, which is defeated, which Assyria, whose land has been despoiled by Assyria. So the people of Cush are sending messengers to this defeated nation. And what will happen at that point? Here a pasuk which we know well from Tefillah. It figures prominently in the Rosh Hashanah davening. Ko yoshvei tevel v'shochnei aretz, all the inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the land. Kinso anes harim tiru, when a banner is raised on the mountains, you will see. V'chitko ha-shofar tishmao, and when the shofar is blown, you will hear. Now, just work within the pshat of Yeshayahu, the raising of a banner over the mountains, the blowing of a shofar, these are references to the day of redemption. The Nes Harim appears in, the Nes for the nations, the banner for the nations appears in Perek Yud Aleph, the blowing of a shofar appears in Perek Kaf Zayin, the day of redemption. So all the nations of the world, you will see when the day of redemption comes, you will see the banner, you will hear the shofar. And so this is a reference, perhaps, to the idea that when Yehuda will be redeemed, you, O nations of the world, will see it. In other words, you've sent messengers, you, O people of Cush, have sent messengers to this defeated nation, and that clearly is a reference to the state of Yehuda during the Assyrian campaign of 701, when many, many territories in Yehuda were defeated, and the people of Cush did at that time send some form of army to engage the Assyrians. And Yeshayahu was saying, it's true that now Yehuda is a defeated nation, but there will come a day when you will see it's the redemption in the world. So out of the destruction comes redemption. Kol yoshvei tevel v'shochnei aretz, kinso anes harim tiru v'chitko ha-shafar tishmau. Kicho amar Hashem elai. So if there's going to be a future redemption, why is there now destruction? Pasuk dalet. Kicho amar Hashem elai, eshkota ve'abita bimchoni. God says to me, to Yeshayahu, Eshkota ve'abita bimchoni. I will be quiet and I will look down in my habitation. In other words, God is in the sky looking down at what's going on in Yehuda and being quiet. It's a classic example of what we call Hester Panim, but Yeshayahu does not describe it as Hester Panim. God is not hiding his face, he's just not reacting at this time and in this point. Why? That remains to be seen. But God is not reacting. He's watching. Kichom tzach aleor ke'av tal b'yom katsir. What is kichom tzach aleor ke'av tal b'yom katsir? I think these are references to the potential for help, but not the actualization of that potential. Kichom tzach aleor, just like the light shines before the very narrow light shines on or here Rashi understands as vegetation, just like the light shines on the vegetation, so that it helps the vegetation grow. But then there's the problem of, is it going to actually allow it to grow further? Ke'avtal b'yom katsir, like a dew cloud on a day on the hot day of harvest. In other words, the harvesters may be very happy to see this cloud of dew, but from the point of view of the wheat, it is very bad to have to have heavy moisture at the time of harvest, because the heavy moisture causes the wheat to rot. Ki lifnei katsir ketom perach uvoser gomel yenitza, because before the harvest will come, the flowers will end, and the boser gomel and the early grapes, which are called boser, the boser gomel yenitza, will become flowers. At the early time of the harvest, the harvest is not quite being successful that yet. And what will happen? Vecharat hazalzalim b'mazmerot, v'netanitishot heseir heitaz. God will come and will cut down the zalzalim, which are the young vines, v'et hanetishot hesir heitaz, and the netishot here are the branches which spread. The branches he will chop off. I interpreted the word zalzalim and netishot in accordance with the Radak. There are other possible interpretations. Ye'azvu yachdav. This is the reference, perhaps, to the cutting off of the Assyrian attack of 701 BCE, and the Assyrians are being chopped down, and what will happen? Ye'azvu yachdav le'et harim ulv'emhat ha'aretz. They will be abandoned, they will be left to the eight milashon ayit, the vultures of the mountains and the animals of the earth. V'katz aleihem ha'ayit, the summer will pass upon them with vultures. V'chol be'emat ha'aretz alav techeraf. Here katz and techeraf are references to summer and winter. So the summer will pass with the vultures. All the animals of the earth will pass upon them in the winter. Summer, the vultures, the animals of the earth, summer and winter. The Assyrians not being buried, left out in the field after their attack on Yerushalayim. Ba'etahi yuval shayel Hashem tzvakot. On that day, a present will be brought, a tribute present will be brought to God. And what is this tribute present that is being brought to God? Well, it's a tribute present which we know from earlier in the parak. Am mimushach umorat umeam nora minhu vahala goy kavkav umvusa asher bazu neharim artso. All the references to Am Yisrael's defeated nation are being engaged in this pasuk. Am mimushach umorat, a nation which was pulled and whose beard was plucked out. Umeam nora me'am nora minhu vahala, a nation which is terrible from the day of its, which is terrifying and wondrous from the day of its foundation. That's how the Radak interpreted earlier, and I suggested am nora'am minhu vahala, a nation for whom being terrifying is more than it can accomplish. A nation which is really fundamentally unterrifying right now. Goy kav kav umvusa, a vomitous and defeated nation, asher bazu neharim artzo, whose land has been despoiled by the Assyrians. So on that day, a present will be brought to God. Now, what is this present? Is it the nation of Israel which is the present, or is it the nation of Israel is bringing a tribute to God? Grammatically, it would seem that the nation of Israel is the present. The shai is am mimushach. But that is very difficult to understand conceptually, and it seems more reasonable to say that the nation of Israel is bringing a tribute to God. In other words, the nation is bringing a tribute to God instead of bringing tribute to Assyria. The upshot of 701 ought to be that the Israelites bring a tribute to God. Ba'etahi yuval shai l'ashem tzvakot, from an am mimushach umorat, and it was the nation of Israel brings a tribute to God, and where is that tribute being brought? El mekom shem Hashem tzvakot ha'tzion, to the place of God's dwelling on Mount Zion. In other words, the Israelites throughout this chapter, who are described throughout as a defeated nation, at the very end will bring a tribute to God as gratitude being saved from the wrath of Assyria in 701 BCE. Now that idea that the Israelites ought to be grateful is certainly an important one and a relevant one, but it is also important to note that when we finally get to the stories about the Assyrian defeat in chapters 36-37, it's important to note that the Assyrians do not actually, that the Israelites in those prakim are not actually recorded as having given a song of praise to God. The Yeshayahu mocks the Assyrian king at the end of Perek Lamed Zayin, but Chizkiyahu, the king of the Jews, who is the leader of the people, the temporal leader, does not actually engage in song to God. And Chazal criticize him for this in Gemara Sanhedrin around Daf Tzadichet, Daf Tzadidalad, but Chizkiyahu does not actually engage in thanks. And here this Perek is one of the several indications in Yeshayahu that salvation ought to be followed by thankfulness on the part of the saved people. So Am Yisrael ought to have brought Shai Lashem Tzevakot. And I think this parak, although it raises many questions, does fit in nicely with the theology of 701, the theology of the Mashiach coming out of the salvation at least coming out of danger, and then the nations of the world seeing that God has saved the Israelites. The salvation is not entirely obvious. It begins with this idea of chom tzach aleor, like all kinds of agricultural phenomena which really don't help, but at the end God is chopping down the attacker, and the attacker will be left to the field, left to the vultures and to the animals. The attacker is totally cut off, and the Israelites at that point, the Jews, ought to bring a tribute to God. Bayom ba'etahi Yuval Shai Lashem Tzevakot. Where is that Shai being brought? El Mekom Shem Hashem Tzevakot, Har Tzion.